Well, here we are, guys. Unexpected, but we are gathering this Resurrection Sunday unlike ever before, in our homes. Each of us apart from each other physically, but I just hope that you guys feel as though that we are together in spirit. And I want to encourage and remind you that, in fact, we are. And as you sit and you listen to my voice, believe me, I'm picturing each one of you. I'm picturing a sanctuary full of people coming to hear God's word. And the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter if we're in that sanctuary or we're at home, but we are unified in Christ. The power of God's word is, it transcends that sort of thing. It transcends this strange time. And in this time, I am absolutely convinced that as Christians, this time is making us better prepared for the future. Especially if we take this time to seek out Jesus, to really taste his mercies, to experience his grace, and to just grow in his love. And so what I want to do is just spend today doing that. And what I want to do is look at the very first day of the week when Mary Magdalene went to the tomb where the body of Jesus was laid. So even though we're not sitting in church, grab your Bible and open it to the Gospel of John chapter 20. And I'm going to read chapter 20, verses 1 through 16, starting in verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him, and he entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been laid on his head, not laying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple, who had first come to the tomb, then also entered, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head, one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. It's a beautiful story, a beautiful story, and I hope you can picture that. So I just want you to let that set in right now. Let the picture of that morning set in, because what we are seeing here are the lives of three individuals who were very close to Jesus in his life, and now they are experiencing this very difficult time in his death as they've been separated from him. So, okay, this is not what they had pictured, right? This is not the end that they saw coming for their king. So what we are getting here is people who are hurting, people who are broken, people who unexpectedly are separated from the man that they loved so dearly. These are people who are dealing with a difficult loss, a personal loss of being torn away from their friend, their teacher, from their Lord. And they are each dealing with this loss in their very own way. Think about Mary. She was the last one at the cross, and now here she is, the very first one at the tomb, even before daylight. Just wanting to be near Jesus, even if that means just coming there and laying at his tomb. And the image that I have of Mary coming to this tomb of Jesus is etched into my mind by this photograph that I saw just a couple days ago. And it was a photo of a soldier's grave at Arlington Cemetery. And over top of his grave, there was a blanket. And on top of the blanket was the grieving widow just laying there, just sprawled out laying there. And right beside her laying down was her newborn baby. And that's the image that's etched into my mind when I think of what Mary's coming to do. Just, you know, to see her in her love and in her pain, just wanting to be near. That's how I see Mary. She somehow wanted to try to bridge that gap, that separation that death had brought. That's the pain that Mary has. And then think about Peter and the other disciple, which is most likely John. And here they are, they're running, right? Running to the tomb of Jesus after they hear Mary's account that the tomb is empty. And these two guys, they have this hope. They have this anticipation that's like a wind pushing them, running to see if it's true. And yeah, I imagine that Peter's running and there's this hope that's behind him, but there's also this uncertainty because remember, the last time that Peter saw Jesus, he was denying him. He was cursing his very name. So think also of the emotion that's mixed together, these feelings that are welling up in him as he's excited, but yet he's still torn by his own failures. And then you have the other disciple, John, you know, the younger guy who's just like blowing right past Peter, you know, in his excitement. He's unhindered, like he is full of wonder and he just takes off running full sprint. And as he reaches the tomb, as he gets there and stands outside, the reality just hits him head on that he's come to something that's far greater than he could ever imagine. These are the three people that we see this very first morning. These are the three people that first come to the tomb. Each of them coming in their own grief, each of them coming in their own hope and faith to see the very impossible. It's a beautiful story. You know, at our house, we have, back behind the house a little bit, buried among briars and overgrown brush, almost hidden from sight, this old stone wall. And the stones that are in that wall were placed there well over 100 years ago when this steep, rugged hillside was actually at one time being used for farmland. And these stones were placed to create a barrier, to create a boundary, a fence. They were boundaries that were to separate one parcel of land from another. And what the stones, what the fence indicated was that it was this obstacle there to stop access from one side to another, right? It was used as a boundary is used, and that is to set a limit. And that is exactly what the stone that was used to cover the entrance of the tomb where Jesus was laid was meant to do. Not just, though, as a physical boundary like the stone wall on my property, but as a spiritual boundary as well. Because in that stone that was placed in front of the grave or the tomb that Jesus was laid in, that was a 2,000 to 4,000 pound stone that was rolled into place, that was sealed by Roman soldiers and guarded by these elite soldiers, and it set a cold, stark limit on the man, Jesus Christ. It separated physically the access to him, to his body. But spiritually speaking, it was the hope of the religious leaders. It was the hope of the Roman officials. It was the hope of Satan himself that this stone would not just separate humanity physically from Jesus, but spiritually that we would be separated from him. The stone, heavy, solid, imposing, represents the very separation of what death brings. Access to Jesus cut off. But Mary comes this morning, right? And she wants nothing more than to just be near Jesus. And what does she discover? In those early, early morning hours, the stone has been taken away from the tomb. So imagine this. This is actually the last thing that she expects. She expects to show up and grieve the loss of Jesus, to cry out in agony and pain, in hopelessness. Imagine her shock, imagine her disbelief as she walks up and the stone is rolled away. And she peeks in and the tomb is completely empty. Now, she doesn't fully understand what's going on. And so she takes off and she goes and she tells the two guys that were the closest to Jesus, Peter and John. And they just take off running, right? So John, being the younger one, outruns Peter and he stops outside the tomb. But Peter, being Peter, runs right in. Just like taking that step of faith when he placed that first foot on the water, right? He just runs right in. He's going for it. And John, seeing him, follows him. So up to this point, these guys are living in a state of grief. They are dealing with the separation from Jesus and his death, and they are trying to wrap their heads around not only what had just happened on the cross, but what's happening right now. But the stone, as they run up to the tomb, the stone has been placed on the side. And the inside of the tomb, the grave wrappings are set aside. The head wrapping is neatly folded up. You see, what they have here is full access now to the very place where death should be reigning and ruling upon the physical body of Jesus, but it is not. And it's at this point that they're starting to actually get it. All of Jesus' words are rushing back to them now. All of his words are entering their hearts and their minds, flooding them with truth, with life and with hope. And it's at this point when they hear what he has been saying, as Miroslav Volf said, Christianity converts our present reality into a coming revolution of God's kingdom. You see, their reality up to this point was that death had overcome Jesus. But in verse 8, the truth of Christ becomes reality. As John, it says, he saw and believed. Just as Job cried out in his anguish, in his pain, I know that my Redeemer lives, and the last he will stand upon the earth. You see, as they realize in that moment that even the finality of death now is put into question, that death itself cannot hold Jesus down, they are starting to realize that the cold separation of death in the grave may be overcome by Jesus. And they have a hope now. They have a faith that will be unsurpassed as he presents himself to them in the following day. See, their grief, their hopelessness will turn into a joy and into an excitement and into a renewed hope. And these guys take off. They're going to go back and they're going to process, and they're going to tell the others, and eventually Jesus is going to appear to them. But here we are again, left with Mary alone at the tomb. You see, it hasn't hit her yet. You see, she's still in this present reality. You see, she's still consumed with her grief, and she's consumed with her loneliness, and she still sees this situation basically as if the stone were still covering the tomb. But she walks up again. What caused her to take that second look? We don't know, but she looks again. And this time as she stoops in, she finds that it's not empty. But in fact, there are two angels sitting in the very place where Jesus had laid. And in verse 13, they ask her, they say, Woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. And in 14, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. This beautiful moment, right? And Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? See, it's Jesus standing there. And she doesn't realize it. And I wonder, when we are running into obstacles, when we are seeing the separation, when we are seeing this imposing thing before us, do we see Jesus? When we're looking for an answer, the reality is that Jesus is patiently asking us, Who are you seeking? And I don't know about you guys, but when I run into situations and I hit what seems to be like a stone that covers the tomb, that just prevents my access, that just blocks off, that's too much, that's too heavy, that's too big, that's too imposing, that every time that I lose faith or my hope fails, if I stop, if I pay attention, if I slow down, if I listen, I find Jesus asking the question, Who are you seeking right now? Who is it that you're seeking? See, he's asking Mary this question for the same reason that he asks us. What limitations do we place on our Jesus? What limitations have we placed on the creator of the universe? And he wants us to think about this, because as we do think about it, we will find that there are no limitations to what he can do. There are no limitations to the hope that he brings. There are no limitations to the salvation that he offers. There is no darkness too dark that he can't conquer. There is no hole too deep that he cannot pull us out of. There is no situation that presents itself that he does not walk right beside us in. And he places us before that tomb because ultimately what he wants to do is draw us closer. For us to look in and to see that he is not there. This is the point. The realities of death are not the realities of Jesus Christ, and they are not the reality of a follower of Jesus Christ. We are told that darkness filled the land when Jesus died. It filled the land. When the light of the world, Jesus Christ, died, darkness filled the land. And not just that, but when he died, he descended into darkness to set the captives free. The mission of Jesus was to take boundaries, was to take the limits of this world, and to blow them apart. As Jesus walked on this earth, what he did was create these little pockets of heaven with every encounter. He was showing us that the realities as we see them, the limits as we see them, cannot survive in this revolution of the kingdom that he brings. His whole work here on earth was delivering freedom to those who need it the most. The Bible says that after he died, he descended to set the captives free. And we look at this and we say to ourselves, why? Why did Jesus have to go, as it says, down to hell to set them free? But what is hell? That's the question. What is hell? Hell is an eternity spent separated from God. It is, in fact, separation from God forever. Hell is that stone that is forever blocking the tomb, which behind it declares victory over death. And Jesus went to the cross so that that would not become the reality. He paid the price so that we would not have to pay it, because we couldn't. And he rose from the grave, and that stone was moved to provide access for every person to come to the realization that he has victory over death in the grave. That stone removed from the entrance of the grave symbolizes the separation from God lifted. It presents a hope, it presents a joy that even in the most grievous of situations, that we may hold on to the joy and the blessings that God has for us. Mary wanted to know, who was it that took the body? She didn't know that she was actually speaking with Jesus until Jesus said just one word. Just one word is all it took for her to recognize who he was. And he said in verse 16, Mary. She was able to recognize him because he personally called her by name. Jesus personally calls each one of us by our names. And he calls us into relationship with him that we should never be separated from him again. He is removing the stone that prevents us from accessing him. If we would look and if we would just answer the question, whom are we seeking? Because if I'm seeking myself, if I'm seeking my desires, then I'm going to find faulted and limited things. If I'm seeking what the world offers me, then I'm going to find it temporary and I'm going to find it limited. But if I'm seeking Jesus, then I am going to find it eternal and I'm going to find him limitless. And I will find Jesus, first of all, because he has already sought me out by name. Joni Erickson Tada once said, "No other religion, no other promise offers new bodies, new hearts, new minds. Only in the good news of Jesus Christ that's offered to hurting people do we find such incredible hope." You know, upon Mary hearing Jesus' call, she turns around and she said to him, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Can we even imagine the joy, the hope, the thrill that she felt as she realized that it was Jesus himself standing behind her? I don't think that her emotions and what she was feeling could ever be captured in words. But it's such a beautiful, beautiful moment when this woman sees her Savior before her and she rejoices with every part of her being. She says, "Rabboni, teacher." That's to say that everything that you said, everything that you taught me, every one of your words is absolutely true. You see, for Mary, up to that point, that stone might as well have been in place. But now, because he first sought her, she sees him, and the stone is removed once and for all. You know, as far as that hedgerow back behind my house, that old stone wall, you know, my boys and I spent some time a while back cutting back those thickets, removing some of the brush, and then we started moving the stones to the side so that we have a path. And we have a path that we can now walk through there. And we do that often when we go out back. It's a path, one that we're using quite often over the last couple weeks as we've been home. But it's a path that offers us access to our property from a new area. A path that allows us a new perspective over the land that we have. When Jesus removes the stone, when that thing is rolled away and pushed off to the side, and full access is granted, and there's nothing stopping us coming to him, we get to see life in a new perspective. And when we look in and we see that not even death, the ultimate finality that we experience in this life, not even death will stop him, and he offers us this same hope, this resurrection hope, there's nothing like that can be experienced anywhere else. There's a hope. There is so much to be found as the present reality that we find ourselves in is changed. And we see it in light of the kingdom through Jesus Christ. Let Jesus into your heart. Listen to his call on your life and answer honestly, whom are you seeking? And even if you're not certain, I want you to know that Jesus has removed that stone. He has lifted the curse and he has provided a new reality, the reality of his kingdom. And that reality is eternal life with him if only we believe. I hope you guys have a great Resurrection Sunday. Enjoy the time with your family. Enjoy the time with Jesus. God bless.